Welcome and thank you for connecting with Open Door Church. Today we begin a new series titled Baseline, God's Measurement for Success. We're going to explore our purpose, our vision, and our mission, as well as our culture, and we want to see God's standard for our church and our individual lives as well. Now, with today's message, here's Pastor Luke.
Everyone likes to hear good job, right? We were working yesterday with Fort Columbia, and it was great to have the guys in charge come around and say, hey, good job, you're doing good. As Christians, when this life is over, we want to stand before God and hear Him say, good job. Or as we know, this phrase, well done, thou good and faithful servant, right? And so maybe if you're new to being a Christian or new to church, maybe you haven't heard of that. Most of us, I'm sure, have. We want to hear that, well done, thou good and faithful servant. We want to be successful Christians as individuals. We as a church, which is the gathering of individual Christians, we want to be a successful gathering. We want to be a successful church, right? Can I get a head nod? Right? We all want to be successful, but here's the reality. There are a lot of different opinions on what Christian success is. Would you agree? We have a lot of different denominations, a lot of different philosophies of ministry within certain denominations, within every denomination, right? There are a lot of different flavors, if you will. And so I believe that we need to explore the criteria by which God measures success. So we're going to begin with the question of purpose. Why do I exist? Why do I exist? So we're going to look at this 2x4. Look at this 2x4. I grabbed it out of my garage this morning. And it's a fantastic 2x4, actually. It's got this nice angle on it. It's strong, right? But this is a great 2x4, wouldn't you say? Do you agree this is a good 2x4? It's strong. So here's a question about this 2x4, though. Is this 2x4 the right length? I want you to think about that. Is this 2x4 the correct length? Well, we don't know, do we? We don't know because we need to use this tape measure. And we need to measure it to figure out if it's the right length. I haven't measured it yet. It is 36 inches and 3/8. So 36 and 3/8 inches on the long side. You carpenters are thinking we've got to measure the short side, right? So if we measure the short side and it's 33 inches exactly, now we know it's 33 on the short side and 36 and 3/8 on the long side. So now we know the specific length. So is it the correct length? Do you know yet? We have not the foggiest idea. What is its purpose, right? What is its purpose? And so we, I don't know, God compares us to sheep. I just compared us to a 2x4, okay? We're like this 2x4. We've got great potential. We're strong. We have value. We have worth. But if we don't know what our purpose is, if we don't know why we even exist, then we even have a measuring tape. We have God's word, right, that gives us a lot of instructions. And we're like, well, but, you know, God gives us different commands and different things. And so we're trying to evaluate ourselves by this tape measure. But if we don't get back to the baseline and say, let's get back to the very core, the foundation, what is God measuring us against? You have to have a point of reference. There has to be a baseline. There needs to be a starting point, right? Are you with me so far? I came across a few quotes from people that I had never heard of before, but I think they're really good. Here's the first guy. His name is Fyodor Dostoevsky. He said, "The mystery of human existence lies not in just staying alive, but in finding something to live for." So it's not just about staying alive, it's finding something to live for. Here's another guy, Robert Byrne. Have you heard of him? Neither had I. He's a really good billiard pool player, I guess. So he had a couple quotes. One is completely unrelated to what we're talking about, but it's pretty funny. This first quote, he says, "There are two kinds of people in this world, those who finish what they start and so on. But he also said this, the purpose of life is a life of purpose. The purpose of life is a life of purpose. How many of you would agree with that? A little head nod? Say, yeah, the purpose of life is to have a life of purpose. You need to be living for something. And that leads us to the question, what is the purpose of life? We're almost to God's word yet. I know you're thinking, Luke, are we ever going to get there? Okay, but let's hear what some other people, here are some various people's answers. The purpose of life is to give love without being asked and to believe you are worthy to receive love always. Here's another one. The purpose of life is to give it away in the service of others. And Christians were like, yeah, the purpose of life is self-actualization, shaping the world in our vision through reaching our full potential. That guy has it pegged, right? If you can give a definition of the purpose of life that makes people go, that's amazing. I don't get it, all right? I think you've nailed it. A couple more. The purpose of life is to explore and experience. Interesting. Last one I have for us is the purpose of life is to understand that what is really isn't. I thought, boy, that's depressing. That's depressing. So I'm going to give you a biblical answer. Are you ready? Here it is. The purpose of life. Why do we exist? Are you ready? Everything, including you and me, exists for the glory of God. Everything, including you and me, exists for the glory of God. So here's what we're going to do in the next several minutes. We're going to define God's glory. We're going to look at several examples of how everything exists for God's glory. And then hopefully, we are going to be renewed in our passion and our desire and our focus to leave here and live our lives for God's glory. Are you ready? Hold on to your hats. We're going to cover a lot of ground, but let's pause and pray, and then we're going to dive into God's word together. God, I pray that you would speak to us today. God, we're going to open up your holy, your special book that reveals your heart, your wisdom, your truth to us. God, I pray that we would receive what you want to tell us today, and not just hear it, but that we would allow it to enter the deepest parts of our hearts and minds, that it would change us, that it would motivate us to leave here different, and we'll give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name, amen. So first, a definition, and we're going to be moving kind of quickly, so here we go. What is God's glory? Here is my stab at it, okay? God's glory is the revelation of himself, the display of his intrinsic holiness and infinite greatness. John Piper, you may not agree with everything that he teaches, but he's got a lot of good stuff, and we need to learn from godly men. After he explained that holiness is at the center of who God is, and I'll just give you a brief explanation of the word holiness is to be set apart from and set unto something else. So we as Christians are to be holy as the Lord is holy. We are supposed to be set apart from the world and set apart unto God. Are you with me? And so John Piper explained that his understanding of Scripture, and I would agree with him, that at the very center of the essence and being of God is his holiness. Some would say that that is his primary attribute in the sense that he is holy, and out of his holiness flows everything else. His righteousness, his judgment, his love, right? And so people say, well, if God is loving, how could he do this, that, or the other thing? Well, he's not only loving, he's also just. He's also a righteous judge. Are you with me? And all of that fits under his holiness. So what is his holiness? His holiness is his otherness. God is not tied to anything or anyone or any category. He is in his own category. He's in a league of his own. So we are supposed to be holy, set apart from the world to God. God is holy. He is set apart from everything else, and he is separate unto himself. This is deep stuff, but are you with me? So God is holy. He is all by himself in a league of his own. And so where does the glory of God come in? Here it is. God being holy. Piper says this about God's glory. He says the glory of God is the manifest beauty of his holiness. It is the going public of his holiness. It is the way he puts his holiness on display for people to apprehend. So the glory of God is the holiness of God made manifest. So again, my stab at a definition of God's glory is the revelation of himself, the display of his intrinsic holiness and his infinite greatness. So if you can imagine that we in our dimension, if you will, we cannot grasp a God that is so separate. He is so separate from us. He doesn't exist in our dimension. He is other than what we can know and experience. He is holy. He is distinct. He is separate. But his glory is the revelation of who he is and what he does for us. By the way, there's also another sense of the word glory that's used in Scripture, and we're going to see that a little bit as we go through this, and that is the glory or the, the praise that we reflect back to God. And so when God talks about his glory, you could say that's his praise, but it's also his revelation. So I know this is some deep stuff, but think about this. God reveals his holiness through his glory. And when we see the revelation of his holiness, the glory of the Lord, then we respond by praising and glorifying his name. Are you with me? Is everybody lost or are you with me? Can I get a head nod? So God's glory is the revelation of who he is. Get that in your minds. And then we're going to look at some examples. So that's the definition. Here are some examples of how everything exists for God's glory. First of all, God's will and desire is for his own glory. And I just have references up on the screen. You can write them down. You can look them up later. If you want to try to keep up with me, go right ahead. But God's will and desire is for his own glory. Isaiah 48, 9 through 11 say this. For my name's sake, I defer my anger. For the sake of my praise, I restrain it for you, that I may not cut you off. Behold, I have refrained you, I have refined you, but not as silver. I have tried you in the furnace of affliction. For my own sake, I do it. For how should my name be profaned? My glory I will not give to another. As God is explaining through the prophet Isaiah to the children of Israel why he's doing what he's doing, he makes it abundantly clear that everything that I'm doing with you, to you, for you, around you, and in you is all for one primary purpose. It's so that my name will be glorified. As I reveal who I am, I will be lifted up. So yes, I love you, but it's not about you. It's about me and my glory. So God's will and desire is for his own glory. Secondly, God's glory was the plan all along. Ephesians 1, 4 through 6, it says, even as he chose us in him, that's his will, okay? He chose us in him before the foundation of the world. So let's get a timeline here. This is an eternity past. We have no way to describe or define God in his holiness, which he exists outside of time. So all we know how to say is in eternity past. But even eternity somehow is a designation of time. But he says before the foundation of the world, before all of this, he chose us that we should be holy and blameless before him in love. He predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ according to the purpose of his will. So this is his plan from before he even said, let there be light. Before Genesis 1:1, when it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Before all this happened, God had a plan and his will and his purpose was for us to have a relationship with him. And then he says why in verse 6, Ephesians 1:6. It says, to the praise of his glorious grace with which he has blessed us in the beloved. So in my, I hope, sanctified imagination, we see the Trinity, in our imagination, we see the Trinity convening within their unified relationship of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit long before, and again, I know that's a designation of time, but in our words, we have to say it was prior to the creation of the world. It was outside of time. It was outside of this creation that we understand. And they said, we are going to implement a plan. And the plan is to create this human race and to design for them a wonderful and beautiful relationship with God. And the purpose for that is so that I, God, can reveal who I am to them. My glory would be revealed, and then my name would be glorified and lifted up. That's been the plan all along. Thirdly, God created for his glory. So that was pre-creation in the plan. And then we see that God created for his glory. We see in creation in general, Psalm 19:1, it says the heavens declare the what? The glory of God. And the sky above or the firmament proclaims or shows his handiwork. And so when we look at creation in theology, we call that general revelation. That is the revelation of God to everyone. If someone has life, they have experienced, at the minimum, they have experienced the general revelation of who God is in creation. Why? Because even the heavens declare the glory of God. And the sky above shows his handiwork. Yes, people tried to deny God's existence. But Psalm 19 goes on to say that there is no speech or language where creation's voice is not heard. God says, I created, and my magnificent creation communicates. It reveals who I am. It reveals his glory. Also, we see God's special creation, which is mankind. In Genesis 1:26, God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. So we are image bearers of God, which, by the way, we won't dive into that too deeply, but a lot of people wonder about that. Well, why is it, or how is it that we are image bearers of God? And some say, well, it's because we are a triune being, so we're kind of a trinity in mind, soul, and spirit. Others talk about how, well, we create and we reason and we think logically as God does. And so they offer different explanations for how exactly we are the image bearers of God. And I think one of the best examples or illustrations that I have heard of is a mirror. If we stand in front of a mirror, that mirror is not us. And I know sometimes we look in the mirror and we do want to deny that what we're seeing is actually a reflection of our true selves, especially in the morning. We wake up, look in that thing, heavens to Betsy, right? We got to fix that. So think about it. We are not God, but we are his image bearers. And so if you think of us as a mirror, we are a mirror. And God creates us to reflect his image to the world. And so I'm not God, but as his image bearers, and it might be that we can create and think and logic and all those things, those are probably all true, how we are made in the image of God. But in the sense that we are to reflect who he is and his character, that's a pretty good thought, isn't it? So we are mirrors reflecting the image of God. Then look it up if you want, Isaiah 43:7, God says through Isaiah, everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. So think about that. We are created in the image of God. Therefore, our very existence is a revelation of who God is. God is separate. He is separate and holy, but he created us. Along with all the general creation, he created a specific, special creation, mankind, that we would be mirrors of his image, that we would reflect who he is in this dimension and in this world. Pretty awesome. Fourthly, Israel was chosen for his glory. We're getting a little history here. Jeremiah 13:11. He says, I made the whole house of Israel and the whole house of Judah cling to me, declares the Lord, that they might be for me a people, a name, a praise, and a glory. And he finishes the verse saying, but they would not listen. So in the midst of God speaking through Jeremiah against Israel's failures and correcting them, he reminds them, this is why I chose you. This is why I called Abraham as an individual, told him to leave his country, go to a new land, and I would make a special people, the Jewish nation. And I chose them, and then the Messiah, Jesus Christ, would come through the Jewish nation to save the world, and all these special promises and the prophecies that were given to the Jews. But he reminds them, this is why I called you. This is why I chose you. This is why I'm blessing you. This is why I'm working with you. Why? Yes, it's because I love you. Yes, it's because I want a relationship, and all those things are true. But ultimately, it's for one overarching purpose, and that is I want myself, my character, my holiness to be revealed through you. I've chosen you, Israel, for my glory. The fifth example, and we just have a couple more. Here's number five. The church is for his glory. And by the way, the church is who? It's us. It's you and me. The church is just you and me when we get together, right? In 2 Corinthians 4:6, it says, for God who said, let light shine out of darkness, has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. I love to preach this whole passage, and he goes on to talk about we have the treasure of the gospel in earthen or clay pots, in earthen vessels, okay, or clay pots. So we have received the gospel so that the glory of God shines through us. I've said it before, I'm going to say it again, that I think if I was God and I wanted to spread my fame and my character throughout my creation, I would choose a different team than humans. I would choose angels, I would choose the sun, moon, and stars to give more of the specific revelation. But God says, no, I want to choose you. And I think part of the reason that, and Paul explains this in 2 Corinthians 6, he says the reason that he believes that God chose us, these weak vessels, is so that he would get all the glory. Because nobody can look at us and the message that we proclaim about Jesus and about eternal life and say, well, hey, wow, Luke is pretty amazing. No. Or you're pretty amazing. No. When we talk about who God is and what he has done through Jesus on the cross, who gets the glory? God. Jesus, right? And so we have received the gospel so that it can shine through us for the glory of God. We also share the gospel so that others can receive eternal life and also display the glory of God. And we see that a few verses later. In verse 15, it says, for it is all for your sake, so that as grace extends to more and more people, it may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God. We understand that this is the purpose of the church. It's your and my purpose today. During this time, in this day and age, we understand all things are for his glory, but the specific mandate, the specific command, or the commission that the church has, that every believer has, is to go and make disciples, to go and preach the gospel. Why? Is because we are revealing who God is in the person of Jesus Christ and what he has done to save eternally all those who will trust in him. And when that happens, God receives glory in the message, God receives glory in the relationship immediately on this earth, and God receives glory forever and ever and ever by all of us as his trophies of his glorious grace. So we are commissioned because of the glory of God, for the glory of God, to proclaim the gospel to others so they will receive Jesus and that they would also join in with the glory of God. Lastly is this application and command. Our lives should be for his glory. Listen to Matthew 5, 14 through 16. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. Pause there for a moment. Jesus always gives the best illustrations. Sometimes I use a 2x4 and it might not be the best illustration. Jesus always gave beautiful and perfect and powerful illustrations. So he talks about light and darkness. He says, you are the light of the world. And so then he gives that illustration. He says, nobody lights a lamp and puts it under a basket. And then he says, here's the application. Here's what I'm driving home. Verse 16 of Matthew chapter 5. He says, in the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Do you see that? Our lives should be like lighting a candle in a dark room. People that do not yet know Jesus and know what he has done for them, it's cloudy, it's hazy, it's foggy, it's dark, it's dim. They don't understand. They probably don't. They think they have purpose in their life, and maybe it's one of those answers we read earlier. Well, I just am searching for happiness, or I'm looking for this, or I've got to get money, I've got to get possession, I've got to have good relationship. It's all about family. It's all about these other things. And I'm not saying that those things aren't good. Are you with me? Those things are good, but those are not the ultimate purpose of our existence. Because at the end of all those things, and if you don't believe me, read Ecclesiastes. King Solomon had more wealth than anybody in the world. He was the wealthiest man in the world, and he had more wisdom than anybody in the world. And he said of himself, I withheld nothing from me. I pursued everything imaginable. And his conclusion of everything was that it's all empty. It's all empty. And he goes through chapters and chapters in Ecclesiastes. And at the very end, he said, let's hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and follow him. So King Solomon says, after years of accumulating and building everything imaginable that this world has to offer, my conclusion is it's all about God and our relationship with him. That's it. And so our lives are to be that mirror. He says, you're the light of the world. It's interesting, we aren't the light, period. We're the light of the world. So we're back to the mirror. God is the true light. Jesus is the true light that was sent into the world. But God says, I shine the true light, and you are to reflect my glory, my light to the world. So if we can picture God in heaven, and God who is veiled from the minds of those who don't believe, and you have these people who are lost, and they're looking for a way out, and if we can position our lives at that perfect 45-degree angle to reflect the light of God to the world, that's what it's all about. So here's the question as we close. How can we each live for the glory of God this week? How can each of us live for the glory of God this week? I want you to think about that, because our goal here at Open Door Church is to be changed by connecting with Jesus. So if we came here today, and if we have connected with Jesus and connected with his word, if we don't see a change, it might be small, it might be big. Answer this question in your mind. How am I going to live for the glory of God this week? I just came up with this. Focus on God and reflect him to others. I cannot live for the glory of God if I don't focus on God, right? And if I only focus on God and I never think about others, then I'm just going to be introverted, right? and I'm just going to be closed in, just me and God. I've got God, I'm good. So we need to focus on God, but then we need to open up and reflect him to others. Focus on God and reflect him to others. You fill in the blank on how to do that. How do you do that this week? So maybe that just helps you to say, okay, God, how do I focus on you this week? All right, I'm going to write some things down. Here's how I'm going to focus on you this week. Now, how am I going to reflect? How am I going to open up while focusing on God? How am I going to reflect God to others? I want to read this verse in closing, Romans 11:36. For from him and through him and to him are all things. It's all about God, amen? To him be glory forevermore. Amen. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you for who you are. Thank you for your holiness, for your otherness, that you are separate from us. You are distinct. You are above us. You are beyond us. But God, thank you that you didn't stay distant in your holiness, but that your glory, the manifestation of who you are, is revealed to us through creation, through your word, through Jesus, through the act of the gospel. God, your glory is revealed. God, I pray that we would focus on you this week and also reflect your light, your glory to others. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope that you were blessed and inspired by today's message. If you would like to hear more messages like this, we invite you to Open Door Church, 4838 Meadowlark Lane in Columbia.